We've got a new year on the way. It's only 363 days till Christmas. But it's only a couple days till brand new year. Did anything happen to you this year that you had no idea would happen when you started 2015? Any surprises? Sister Baker's shaking her head, yeah. Pacemaker.
My heart came out, yes.
I was there by her bedside when her heart would stop and then start up again. Scary. I remember those words, Irene, when you looked up at me and said, "Is this how it is when you die?" So, wow. I know you were. Yeah. Praise the Lord. 2016. What's going to happen? We're going to elect a new president. Lord help us. Amen. If God don't help us, we're in trouble. Let me tell you, I don't care who we vote in. They're not going to fix everything. No way. A lot of things happening to our nation, happening to the world. And an awful lot of things will happen to each one of us. We don't really know. Good, bad, there will be challenges. Truth of the matter is we have no idea right now what those challenges could be. I've often thought when I come up on an accident and somebody has been killed. Well, last night, young 25-year-old young man on 68 coming out of Cumberland, hit a wall, fishtailed on wet road, hit a wall. Now he's gone. A mile before that, he had no idea. Half mile before that, he had no idea, 25 years old, that he would never see 26. I think about those things. I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. But I want us to get a little perspective of how to view what's in front of us. And to do that, I want to go to a Bible story. Anybody ever read the story about David and Goliath? Huh? Only five, half a dozen? Oh, others have read. You know who they are. David was almost 9.5 feet tall. Oh. Goliath was out tending his father's sheep. Well, you've got a little drift of what the story is about. Here they are, two armies. The armies of the Philistines on one mountainside, and the armies of Israel on another. Little valley between them. You know the story. Every morning, this 9.5 foot giant, almost up to the ceiling, giant of a man, would come out from the Philistine armies down into the valley. And he would yell at the others over there. By the way, somebody told me the other day, they were making out a check for church, and somebody was looking at them making out this check, and they didn't go to church, and said, "You mean to tell me you give that much money to the church for him to get up there and yell at you?" Goliath would come out and he would holler at the Israeli army, Saul, King Saul. King Saul was head and shoulders above everybody else. Big man. And he would dare them, send a man out. See, if both armies clashed together, there would be hundreds, no doubt thousands, laid dead in the valley before the sun would set. And so rather than to cause the deaths of all of those, armies agreed that two main fighters would come out and face each other, and whoever won the fight would be the winner. And the whole army and the whole country would submit to that one fellow. So that was the scenario. There he was, walking up and down, daring them to send out a man to fight him. How would you have felt if you'd been at, if you were in the Israeli army and this giant of a man comes out and says, send me a man out to fight, and King Saul would look at you, Bill, you ready to go?
No.
What are you going to say to Saul? You go. Louis, you ready to go?
No.
I think that's a no.
Ask a woman.
Pine, are you ready to go? Pardon? You have a mean right hook. Can you see this? I hit you in the knee. Nobody. Nobody would dare to sign up and go out and face Goliath. You know the story, little teenage boy, been tending Jesse, his father's sheep, out there watching the sheep. Jesse called him in and said, David, I want you to go over to Jerusalem and I want you to take some cheese and bread to the boys and the soldiers. You see, back in those days, the citizens of the country had to provide provision. And so David went over with the cart and carried the bread and the cheeses and whatever Jesse fixed up. And while he was over there, this Goliath fellow came out hollering, yelling. David hears him. David's looking around at his big strapping brothers. They've got armor on. They have swords on. They have a spear in their hand. They have a helmet on their head. And he looks down at their knees and knees are shaking. David said, what's wrong with you guys? Oh, you little shepherd boy, go back to tending your sheep. Let me fight to us. I can almost see David looking at that. What fighting? I haven't seen any yet. Nobody here is willing to go out. And so, Pat goes to Saul. Says, Saul, I'll go. I want us to see the perspective of this scenario in the eyes of different people. We made mention of the challenge. Philistines mustered, and the Israelite troops in the Valley of Elah. Goliath proclaiming his challenge to the Israeli people, shouting and taunting them. "Why are you all coming out to fight?" he called. "I am the Philistine champion, but you are only the servants of Saul. Choose one man to come down here and fight me. If he kills me, then we will be your slaves. But if I kill him, you will be our slaves. I defy the armies of Israel today. Send me a man who will fight with me." Can you picture it? The challenge is huge. It's life or death. One of these guys is not coming back. They're going out there for a life or death fight. Goliath just may crop up in front of you this coming year. There may be a giant somewhere out there in 2016 that you will have to face. There may be a cry from the enemy's camp, "I'm here to defeat you. I'm here to overwhelm you. I'm here to take you down." How many know that the Bible says Satan goes around as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour? Well, that's not me. That's Pam. That's not me. That's Brother Richard back there. He's after him. He's not after me. Hello? Seeking whom he may devour. So he's out there, and he may well throw a Goliath in your path this coming year. How are you going to handle it? Well, I want you to take a look at Israel's perspective. These soldiers and Saul. When Saul and the Israelites heard this, the Bible says they were terrified and deeply shaken. Wow. They were scared. How many of you have ever been scared? Anybody of you ever had the hair stand up on the back of your head? Huh? Really been afraid? Scared? These guys were afraid. They were so afraid, they were shaken. Even Saul, high above everybody else, the king of Israel, well trained in battle, a man who knew how to use his sword and his spear, even had an armor bearer going in front of him, and yet there he stood, and the rest of the soldiers looking up at him, and he's shaking, and they're shaking, and there's no one in the camp. Seeing that perspective of that giant out there who is willing to go. Then comes this little fellow, David, to Saul and says, "I'll go." Listen to what Saul said. This is from the New Living Translation. "Don't be ridiculous." That's what Saul said to David. "Don't be ridiculous. There's no way you can fight this Philistine and possibly win. "You're only a boy, and he's a man of war since his youth." "Hey, boy, sit down and shut up. Get out of my face. I've got a war to fight here. You're just a kid. How in the world are you ever going to handle this situation?" Goliath's been trained to fight since he was a teenager, and you want to go out there the way you are? That was their perspective. What is your perspective of giants that come into your path? What is the perspective of cancer? What is the perspective of financial hardship? What is your perspective of an illness that comes to your life? What is your perspective? How do you see it? How do you view it? Do you view it through the eyes of Saul? Do you view it from the eyes of the soldiers of Israel? Do you look at it and shake and quiver and say, "Oh my, oh my, oh me, oh my"? How do you see the giants that come up in your life? Let's look at the perspective of David. I've got to fill in 20 minutes here. 4:12. What is the perspective in David? Listen to what he said. David said, "Don't worry about this Philistine." My mama was a superhero in worry. Anybody else here? You worry about what your mother, what you're worrying about. Oh, anxious because you're anxious. Mom was super anxious about everything. Worried about worrying. And this little lad says to King Saul, "Don't worry about this Philistine." David said to Saul, "I'll go fight him. No fear. No fear of the giant in his path. No fear of that cancer. No fear of that financial reversal. No fear about tomorrow. No fear about the problems of relationships. No fear about the struggles of life." Isn't that the first thing the devil tries to do to us when something comes our way, is to get us all anxious and worried and fearful about what's going to happen and what's going to take place and how's this going to work out? Oh, I don't know what. Lord, where are you? There stand little David, just as calm and cool and collected, and says, "Don't worry, Saul, I'll fight him." He had total trust in God. Listen to what he said. "I have been taking care of my father's sheep and goats." Well, whoopee. "When a lion or a bear came out to steal a lamb from the flock," he said, "I go after it with a club and rescue the lamb from its mouth." Woo! That's a whole different story now, buddy. Amen. Can you imagine a teenage boy, a little teenager? Stand up there, Caleb. Well, you're not so little anymore. But can you imagine? Would you take on a bear? Huh? A lion? Pussycat? I've had a couple cats put me in my place. They start hissing and swatting and... Amen? This little fellow said, "Saul, don't worry. I'll fight this battle. Because when I was out there
taking care of my daddy's sheep. A lion came out of the woods and he grabbed one of those little lambs and I went after him and I got a hold of the lion and I beat him over the head with a club till I made him let go. I can imagine Saul saying, "You what?" Said, "I even caught him by the jaw and clubbed it to death." I heard a song one time about Davy Crockett. Went in a bush with a knife and there was a big rustle and Davy came out dragging a bear. Killed it with a knife. Wow. Here's a better one than that. David taking on a bear and a lion and clubbing it to death with a club over its head. He says, "My God is with me. My God will defy this Philistine." Satan defies you and I. He goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And it doesn't matter if you're 93, it doesn't matter if you're 70, if you're 55, or if you're 10, or 7, or 8 years old. He's out to destroy each and every individual who trusts and believes in God. He is hollering his insults against the children of God. He is saying, "You must accept me for who I am, and don't you dare quote the Bible to me, or I will come and get you." That's the world that we're facing today. Yes, I may be different, but I want you to know that I'm equal to you and what I'm doing is no longer sin. When we are challenged to stand on the Word of God and stand for what's right and stand for what's true and stand for what the Word of God says, will we take the stance of David? Or will we cower in the face of the world? Jesus said, "But you belong to God, my dear children. You have already won a victory over those people because the Spirit who lives in you is greater than the Spirit who lives in the world." Was David able to say to Saul, "I'll go fighting, don't be afraid, don't worry about it," because he knew the God that he served. That's one of the keys in our perspective. Now, if you're not serving the Lord real close, and you're out there playing around with the world as well as trying to hold on to what's right, you're playing both fields, look out, you're in trouble. But if you're serving the Lord, if you're out there on the backside of the pasture field singing hymns to the Lord and having experiences with God, hallelujah, and when the bear and the lion comes, God delivers them into your hand and you take offense at the attack of the devil and you beat him down, hallelujah, greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. Do you know that? Some years ago when I pastored on the Eastern Shore, a lady came into the church one Sunday morning from Baltimore, never saw her, didn't know who she was. And she came down to the altar at the end of the service for prayer. And when I began to pray for her, she went down on the floor and she started foaming at the mouth. And she started squirming all over the floor and guttural voices began to come out of her. And I saw some of my good members that were sitting on the front seat begin to scatter. They began to leave. Satan was manifesting himself. Demons were manifesting themselves through her. She had allowed them to take up possession in her life. We began to pray and rebuke the devil and rebuke the demons in the name of Jesus. And after a while she calmed and the foaming stopped and she opened her eyes and she said, "I'm free. I'm free. Greater is He that is in you." If you're living for Him, if you're serving Him, you can face the giant. You can face the Goliath. That is going to have to be your perspective for this coming year. I'm telling you that through what David said here and looking at the perspective of this giant and this battle in front of him, that you are greater than anything that will come your way this coming year. Amen?
Amen.
"What shall we say," said Paul, "about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can be against us? Since He did not spare even His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, won't He also give us everything else?" Amen? "Who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for His own? No one, for God Himself has given us right standing with Himself. Who then shall condemn us? No one, for Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us, and He is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us. Can anything separate us from the love of Christ? Does it mean He no longer loves us? If we have a trouble or calamity, or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death, as the Scriptures say, 'For your sake we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep.' No, 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 no. Despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us and gave Himself for us." Somebody say, "Praise the Lord." "For I am persuaded, I am convinced." Are you convinced? "That nothing can separate us from the love of God, neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from the love of God." Hallelujah, hallelujah. That's David's perspective. That's how he saw the giant. While the others are shaking in their boots, while the others are scared to death of the challenge of the enemy, David is standing there with a trust in God that absolutely nothing can overpower His God and His Redeemer. Is that the way you feel? David replied to the Philistine. He went out, picked up 5 little stones. Well, he tried Saul's armor on. You know that story. Can you imagine a guy nearly 7 feet tall trying to put his armor on a 5'4" David? Don't go away and quote me. It said the Bible said he's 5'4". I'm just saying. But here he goes. He goes out, nothing but his sling, nothing but his shepherd clothes. The giant standing there bellowing at him and saying, "You come to me with a sword and spear, or you come out here, what am I, a dog, that you'll come out here and look at me? What do you think I am, boy?" He said, "I'm going to take your head off and feed you to the birds." Just like the old devil to brag, isn't he, about what he can do? Oh, he'll huff and puff. Remember the story of the 3 little pigs?
I don't know where all this stuff comes from, but they huffed, the old wolf huffed and puffed, and he couldn't blow the house down. The old devil will huff and puff. But if you're standing true to the Lord, if you have David's perspective, it doesn't matter if he blows what he blows at you. You, with the power of Christ, are able to overcome. David said back to that old giant, "You come to me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Today the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you and cut your head off." Woo! Hallelujah! Let me at him! I was holding a revival in Clarksburg, Pennsylvania some years ago, a little mining town, western PA. The devil had control over that church. There was fighting and stuff going on in the church. And the pastor, when he booked me to come and preach a revival, he said, "Pastor Lay, I can't guarantee you anything. It's bad. It's tough there." He was about to quit and leave the church. And as a last ditch, he said, "Come preach for me. Will you do that?" And I said, "Yes, sir." And I came to preach, and the devil attacked me physically. One morning when I got up, it was like somebody took a knife, a dagger, and drove it right between my shoulder blades. And first thing that came to my mind, "You preach tonight, you're going to die." I said, "Well, die or not, I'm going to preach anyhow." I went over to the church and started praying and seeking God for the service that night. And the devil walked down the aisle of that church. I knew he was there. I got up from the altar, and when I turned around, I was expecting to see something. I knew exactly where he was standing in the middle aisle. Back that time, the Spirit of God came down. Hallelujah. And I started back the aisle. "Devil," I said, "in the name of Jesus, you get out of this church. Get out of this territory. We have victory over you in the name of the Lord." And he left. Hallelujah. Revival broke out. And some of the old saints got saved all over again. And some of the infidels that sat in that church and had it bound by their spirits got saved. An old alcoholic sitting on the third row where Brother Sherman is sitting today, sat on the third row there on the end, and he came to church every night for 2 weeks drunk, sat there and slept. And after 2 weeks we were going to close the revival, and it was over, and he slept all through church, but he got to his feet and he said, "Preacher, you can't close this revival. I'm not saved yet." Down to the altar he came, prayed him through, went on for a third week of revival. Hallelujah. People getting saved. I'm telling you, I know by experience what David knows. Greater is he that's in you. You can challenge the devil when you're serving the Lord, when you're living for Jesus, when you're filled with his Spirit. You don't have to fear what will come. Let the challenges of 2016 arise. Let the battles come your way. Let the giants roar their roar. But if you're living in Jesus Christ, you have the right perspective. My God is greater than any challenge. And through him, we will be victorious. Amen.